Chris Horner joins us, attorney, a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, author of The Liberal War on Transparency, and so much more. His credentials are really unmatched. Today's topic, suing Virginia Attorney General Mark Herring. And boy, if there ever was a deserving individual of being sued on many counts, it's Mark Herring. Chris Horner, welcome back to The Shilling Show.
Thank you, Rob.
Hey, could you tell us a little bit about Bloomberg, his climate activism, and the financing of attorney general offices, including the one here in Virginia?
Yes, thanks. It goes back about 2.5 years, something you and I have discussed, when a former vice president and 19 or 20 attorneys general had a press conference in Manhattan, including our own, announcing they would use law enforcement office in a whatever means necessary campaign to bring about an agenda that had failed through the proper democratic process. That's the climate, what they call now the climate agenda, but energy rationing and suppression and so on. And under scrutiny, that blew up. As you recall, we have emails that show that once Freedom of Information Act requests at the state level began coming in, and we started shipping them out that day to all of the participants, attorneys general fled. The idea that people would consider this and give it scrutiny didn't sit well. Well, the Zelle didn't fade, and Mike Bloomberg got the band back together by giving money to a nonprofit where they have something. I don't know if it's actually been created or, like so many we've found, it's a website with staff run out of a nonprofit or run through a nonprofit called the State Energy and Environmental Impact Center. They're seeking state impacts. So as part of this, with this soft rollout in the Washington Post, Mike Bloomberg got this story announcing that he was going to underwrite special assistant attorneys general. No curiosity from the reporter.
Yeah.
How does that work? So he then began issuing announcements, and Mark Herring issued a press release saying he was proud to be participating.
Wow.
And what happened was the Virginia Attorney General on September 15th, 2017, asked for a privately funded attorney who they would place in their office, hired by Bloomberg's group, paid by Bloomberg's group, benefits provided by Bloomberg's group, but serving in the Attorney General's office. And it was a remarkable document. It said that this would, quote, allow General Herring to advance the agenda represented by this group. Really breathtaking.
Yes.
But near the end of the document, it said that we've examined the law, and we see no problems under the Virginia Code, and we've examined the ethics limitations, and we don't see any issues. So what we did is I did, as a Virginia citizen and taxpayer and the Competitive Enterprise Institute, as a group that has a transparency campaign, as you know, we wanted to see the memo. Remember, this is an attorney's office. This is the state top legal officer.
Yes.
This is a remarkable claim of legal authority on behalf of the Attorney General. Mm-hmm. Surely there is a memo there stating why, for example, the numerous state code provisions that on their face prohibit this. They do not authorize it. Mm-hmm. They prohibit it.
Right.
Why don't they apply? I mean, surely there's a memo, right? We'd like to see it.
Yes.
And if they're going to claim privilege, they have to at least say, well, here is the list of memos that we claim mean these, have determined, concluded that these laws are meaningless to us in this context,
yeah,
and we're going to claim exemption. Well, they just claim no records, that there is no memo, which is implausible. And as we told the court in Richmond earlier this week, for several reasons. First, the Virginia Code suggests that there must be records, because it says the Attorney General, anybody doing the work of the Attorney General has to be in the Attorney General's, it has to be the Office of Attorney General.
Right.
And that they are to be paid out of the Treasury, not Mike Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have to provide a written assertion of why can't the AG do this himself? Is the case in California? Do you have some complex biomedical intellectual property issue that you can't handle in office with your, I don't know what it is, $60 million budget and that huge staff? You have to lay out, the legislature has said, you have to state, why can't you do this? So you have to have, it's got to be there in writing. His own application to the Bloomberg Group says
right,
that there are records. And frankly, the Code of Professional Conduct says that there better be records, in my view, because it says you have an obligation to provide analysis mm-hmm. and consultation. And they're saying, no, our position is it was just this one lawyer, making a breathtaking statement of legal authority for the top law enforcement office. But, you know, the only consultation occurred down by the coffee pot. Their position is, it's a little bit of a moving target, but that's the gravamen of their position. It could be that they don't want to identify the record because it would be exempt anyway.
Yeah.
But that's not how the law works.
Well, it's certainly not, but this is very difficult. I mean, you're kind of shooting in the dark here. So what are you seeking, and very specifically, what is the ruling? How will it affect the case?
Okay, well, they were seeking to dismiss the case and not permit us to engage in discovery or go to trial to find out how do we square these irreconcilable positions.
Mm-hmm.
We prevailed, and so now we're seeking, as we were, all opinions, memoranda. Where's the analysis? It's just not plausible that you didn't base this on anything but maybe a conversation down by the water cooler. And so that's where we're going now, and they've made plain they're going to fight this every step of the way. I do note that the legislature is in town, and that if anyone is going to say, in fact, it's their job to say, as if we weren't clear enough and we thought we were, you cannot do this. I mean, the statute is very clear, but the implication, though they won't say it, is this sort of, the implication is the National Rifle Association can chair a special assistant attorney general to pursue opponents of the Second Amendment.
Right.
National Right to Life can chair a special assistant attorney general to investigate abortion providers. That's the Attorney General's position. Now, if that were done, I'm confident this Office of Attorney General would join us in opposing that use of law enforcement. So the legislature ought to seek their cooperation in saying, you know what, the law's clear. We can't do this. And so far, all the AG is telling reporters and the court is, well, we didn't do it. So there's no story here, there's no case here, go away. Again, it depends on what the meaning of the word it is. You did do it. I have the document. You said you can. And then you followed through. You developed a job description. They came down and met in Richmond. There were all sorts of follow-up steps. And now you're saying, well, we didn't consummate, so go away? Taxpayers have a right to see how in the world these institutions came to be used this way.
Chris Horner, we've got just a little over a minute left. How do we stop this corruption once and for all? I sometimes feel like, you know, you're carrying this load for everybody, but you got your fingers in the dam, and these people just keep up with their corruption.
Right now, the immediate response is we're seeking a judicial response, an intervention. I say right now, through the end of next month or near the end of next month, you have to get your elected representatives to put an end to this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, there's a publication called Bacon's Rebellion, and the Office of Attorney General's spokesman was asked, when essentially the legislature goes home, are you going to do this? And they wouldn't answer the question. So you can be fairly confident they're going to do it. You should tell your elected representatives, put an end to this now, with budget or appropriations language. This is not how these funds, the taxpayer's office is not going to be used this way. The statutes are clear. We'll try to hash this out. We'll try to get the records in court. But for now, before February 23rd, these lawmakers have to put a stop to it.
Indeed they do. Chris Horner, if people want to get more information on this or the other work that you're doing, or if they'd like to support you in your efforts in this very worthy cause to bring justice to the AG's office, how can they do that?
Go to CEI.org, and you can read about it also and support Government Accountability and Oversight, which is a nonprofit law firm handling this. You can read about it at Climate Liability Watch, Litigation Watch.
Mm-hmm.
So CEI, ClimateLitigationWatch.org, and you can find out all about it and support it if you wish.
Chris Horner, thank you for the work you're doing on behalf of all who are looking for justice and people to be accountable. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.
Indeed.